It's been under a month since Ellie Savitt became the new Washtenaw County prosecutor, and he has been busy, announcing a number of promised changes to how the department is run and how the criminal justice system in Washtenaw County will operate. This is Lisa Berry, and joining us now on WEMU with yet another new plan is Prosecutor Savitt to tell us about a new youth initiative. And the way you put it was involvement in the criminal legal system often does kids more harm than good. Is that where you're coming from on this?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And first of all, thank you again for having me. The policy that we put out, I think, is long overdue and is really based on science and based on data and based on what we know about young people's brain development. The truth of the matter is that young brains, including adolescent brains, are still developing. That makes young people more likely to take risks, more susceptible to peer pressure, also more susceptible to fear and to trauma, which can influence their continued development. So what the data shows us is actually a punishment-based approach to juvenile justice does not work. It can interfere with that very fragile brain development. It makes it indeed more likely that a young person is going to commit a future crime. And so at the end of the day, it doesn't make us any safer. So the suite of policy changes that we announced are really geared towards taking a much more rehabilitative approach to juvenile justice, one that takes stock of what we know about brain development and one that will ultimately keep us safer in the long run.
That's such an interesting comparison between science-based information and the criminal justice system.
Yeah, you know, it is. But in fact, over the past several years and the last decade in particular, you have seen an increasing reliance on science and on brain development based science in our justice system. And, you know, you don't have to look any further than the United States Supreme Court. In a series of recent cases, the court has held that the death penalty is unconstitutional as applied to children because of their lesser moral culpability, because of that brain development. They've also held that life without parole in prison is presumptively unconstitutional for young people for exactly those same reasons. So, you know, the legal system is often quite slow to catch up to what we know about science and what we know about medicine, but you are seeing a real sea change in how we treat juveniles and also, more broadly, in how we should be treating older young people, emerging adults, come out of our courts, including the United States Supreme Court.
Is Washtenaw County ready to rehabilitate these younger citizens who may get into some sort of legal trouble?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll say this. We do nothing in our office, in the prosecutor's office, by ourselves. This policy is the result of a collaboration with our transition working group that had a huge variety of stakeholders involved in schools, in law enforcement, in the criminal legal system represented. And we worked through this policy. We hashed it out. We decided, okay, what are the types of charges that we would want to bring for public safety's sake against juveniles? Where can we apply a much more rehabilitative approach? And how can we keep equity front and center in our decision making? You know, I grew up in Washtenaw County, and I know for a fact that as a white guy, white teenager, me and my friends were, you know, we were engaged in some adolescent misbehavior. I'll say that on the air now because the statute of limitations has passed. I did not have to suffer criminal consequences as a result of that. I often got the benefit of the doubt as a young person, and that's really the standard that we're trying to apply to everybody. On the subject of collaboration, I do want to say this. There has been a ton of work done in Washtenaw County already around reforming our juvenile justice system. As we are talking today, the population in our juvenile detention center is at a record low. That is, of course, in part because of the COVID pandemic and because we aren't sending as many kids there for health reasons. But we've had, you know, law enforcement, the juvenile judges, probation, a number of partners that are taking a renewed look at this and are committed to moving in a different direction. So one of the things that we're fortunate about here in Washtenaw County is that we're all working in partnership, and we're working in partnership ultimately for the betterment of our kids.
So what are some of these situations that juveniles will no longer be charged for?
Sure. So there's a variety. But let's start with some of the low-level offenses that you often see kids committing. Things like running away from home, things like curfew violations, tobacco or vaping-related offenses. As a general rule, we are not going to charge those criminally. I just don't think it is appropriate. And again, the data shows that that can often make things worse. It can make it more likely that a kid is subjected to trauma and that a kid ultimately ends up committing a more serious crime. School-based offenses are another major focus of our policy today. Let's be real about this. Kids have been getting into fights in school. Kids have been engaging in misbehavior in school since time immemorial. And that's sort of standard low-level misbehavior in a school setting or even off school grounds, we don't think is appropriate to treat with criminal sanctions. That doesn't mean that there will be no consequences for a kid. It means we'll defer to the schools to address it as is necessary. Another thing that we said in our policy is that kids with diagnosed behavioral disabilities or kids with other disabilities that may be resulting in sort of adolescent or childhood misbehavior, if we know that a crime stems from that, we've got a presumption that we're not going to be bringing criminal charges. Now, of course, all of these, just like every one of our policies, is subject to public safety exceptions. If we need to do something to keep the community safe, we are going to do that. But at the end of the day, what the data shows us is that a punishment-oriented approach to juvenile justice not only doesn't keep us safe, it makes us less safe because it makes it more likely in the long term that a young person is going to continue down the path that they are, and indeed that their behavior will escalate.
You mentioned restorative justice. If that's an option in lieu of the traditional juvenile system, they're going to opt for that approach. What does that mean, restorative justice, when it comes to juvenile?
Sure. So I'm really thrilled to talk about this. Restorative justice is a survivor-centered model of justice in which instead of sending somebody into the traditional juvenile justice system or the traditional adult justice system, if the survivor wants to engage in this alternative, then what happens is the person who committed harm and the survivor of that harm, after a period of intense preparation, will sit together. They will be in conference. And what the person who committed harm has to do is they need to acknowledge the harm that was done. They need to accept responsibility for what they did. And then together, the person who was harmed or the person who committed harm works out a plan for how amends can be made. Now, there's been a number of studies which have showed that this is much more likely, particularly at a juvenile level, to reduce the chances that somebody is going to get in trouble again, to reduce the odds of recidivism. And the reason for that is pretty simple. It's an opportunity to really internalize why what you did harmed another person. And for a young person, for somebody whose brain and whose moral intuitions are developing, that can be very powerful. But it's not just that. This is a survivor-focused model, which often gives the survivor of a crime much more out of the justice system than they would have through our traditional approach. Because if you think about it, in our traditional adversarial system of justice, the defendant is disincentivized from taking responsibility for what they did, from saying, I did it, I acknowledge the harm that I caused you. Because the minute that you do that in our adversarial system, you're pleading guilty and you risk punishment. This is an approach that allows for that healing, that allows for somebody to take responsibility and ultimately to grow from it, and also allows for an individualized assessment with the survivor leading the way for how amends can be made. I'm a big fan of restorative justice generally, but the data is really unimpeachable with respect to the juvenile system it keeps us safer in the long term, and survivors get much more out of it. So if a survivor wants that in the juvenile system and there's no, you know, imminent public safety risk, we're going to go with that option.
Has it been done much in Washtenaw County up till now?
You know, it has, though not to the extent, of course, that we are allowing for it now. We've got a great community partner with the Dispute Resolution Center, and Judge Connors, who is a circuit court judge, is really a national and even internationally recognized leader in restorative justice practices. So it has been going on. We do have experts and people that are trained up ready to go in this community around restorative justice. What has been something of a barrier in the past is that the prosecutor's office has not seen fit to allow for the use of restorative justice in a great many cases, especially involving juveniles. And our policy eliminated that barrier. And I'm hoping we will see really tremendous results coming out of it.
Washtenaw County Prosecutor Ellie Savitt talking to us about moving away from a punishment-oriented juvenile legal system towards a more of a focus on rehabilitation in Washtenaw County. Thanks for talking to us here on WEMU.
Thank you again for having me.